There's something weird going on that we don't really understand. The other thing that is very obvious is you can go and watch these Brazilian trans surgeons who do operations. Many of them are channeling what they call spirits from the beyond that do the surgery. For instance, the most famous one was a guy called Arrigo, who channeled a World War I a German surgeon called Dr. Fritz. But the current trans surgeons in Brazil have been shown by medical doctors actually to remove tumors, incise patients. They do not care at all about sterility. Sometimes they'll throw the instrument on the floor and they won't, and they'll spit on it to show that it doesn't matter. They make the incisions, the patients don't bleed, they don't need anesthesia, and they heal perfectly well. Now, you know, no one has actually studied the fact that do these patients have a long 5-year survival rate. They haven't got that kind of data. But the mere fact that they survive this procedure is an absolute miracle. So there's no question in my mind that there's something strange going on, and I think it really has to do with an energy field that may be projected from the spirit world. It probably has to do, maybe simplistically, I don't know this, in a way of transferring what's called kundalini energy to the patient, what the yogis call shaktipat, where you can induce a sort of mystical experience in somebody by touching them. The Bushmen do this. The ayahuasca curanderos do this by, you know, can actually, you know, shoot arrows into patients and knock them down. So there's some field effect that nobody quite understands, and I think that the...
And that's energy, Errol.
That's energy, yeah. And who knows what it is, but it's real.
The Bushmen that you were talking about, the Kalahari, how big is those tribes?
Unfortunately, there's very few left. There probably, I know about 10 years ago, I read a survey that said there were about 60,000 of them left in the Kalahari and surrounding areas, and only about 1,000 of them that are living in the hunter-gatherer sort of lifestyle. And I believe it's the hunter-gatherer lifestyle that gives access to the spiritual realm. Because they're masters of the wilderness, because they're incredible hunters, gatherers, trackers, and because they don't have to worry about acquisitions and keeping cattle or making money or doing the things that we have to do, because they actually live on their wits in nature, they're tuned in at a very deep level to the natural world, and this gives them access to the spiritual world much more easily than we do.
And the Kalahari Desert, of course, is in South Africa.
Right? Yeah, and Botswana and Namibia. It sort of extends through all three countries.
Where did they learn this gift?
Well, you know, I think it probably arose, and I'm guessing, spontaneously out of their affinity for nature. I think the big gun of spiritual practice is nature, is Mother Nature. She embraces all the polarities that are necessary for spiritual practice, for spiritual attainment. You know, I think the whole thing is a polarity balance, just like it is with medicine. It's left and right brain. It's yin and yang. It's the left and right sides of the tree of life. It's the sun and the moon energies of the yogis. But the Bushmen have this implicitly in the nature experience, the sun and the moon, the hot and the cold, the wet and the dry, the starving and the satisfied, the thirsty and the quenched. They're living this in the moment day to day. And I think by balancing these polarities, they get incredibly tuned in, because in order to track an animal, you have to be incredibly tuned in, otherwise you're going to starve to death. So I don't think it's a big jump for them to go into the spirit realm, and I think probably what happens is that this spiritual practice, the nature practice, is what moves their kundalini energy, because I think the bottom line, the common denominator of all these practices, whether it's yoga or Buddhism or Kabbalah or shamanism, is the ability to move kundalini energy. Or psychedelics can do the same thing. So when the kundalini moves up the body, up the central channel of the spine, and then eventually gets up to the top, to the crown chakra, the seventh chakra, that's where the kundalini feminine shakti energy meets with the Shiva male principle at the crown. And this is the gateway to altered states of consciousness, the oneness experience, opening up the third eye, intuition, clairvoyance, clairaudience, you name it.
Do any of these cultures ever talk about or discuss how they obtained these powers? Were they given from people above them, or how did they get them?
Mostly they will acknowledge that. The interesting thing about the Bushmen is there's rock art showing their trance dance going back 30,000 years. So I think they were the originators of the whole thing. They're probably the original people. But most of them, the Sangomas and the Bushmen, will be the first to tell you that the ancestors or the spirits, and sometimes the Bushmen will even trance and meet the great god, the big god, and they'll say they get messages from these people. The interesting thing about the Bushmen is they do not use psychedelics to do it usually. They might use it to try and get an initiate to break through.
Right.
The Sangomas also rarely use psychedelics. Most of the time it's with drumming, dancing, and that kind of thing.
But nobody talks about visitations or anything like that?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah, visitations by ancestors in their dreams. The Bushmen have a different experience. When they trance, they travel out of body, up a cord, up a ladder, where they call them ropes to God, to the spirit world where they talk to the spirits, and the spirits give them information, possibly about the health of a patient, what to do about a patient, what's going to happen, where the game is, and that kind of stuff. Then they come back down, get back into their bodies. They call this the little death. And when they come back into their body, they will impart information to the clan and heal with hands on. And I think they kind of are plugged in directly into the circuitry. You know, they're kind of right there with their finger in the plug. The Sangomas are a bit different. What they do is there's a strong belief in the ancestral world, but it doesn't just have to be your bloodroot ancestor. It can be any ancestor, any spirit who chooses to work through you. But when the Sangoma goes into trance, the ancestor actually comes into their body, and we're familiar with this in the West as calling it trance channeling. But when you see it in Africa, I mean, there's nobody home. There's somebody in there who's completely different to anything you can recognize. You know, they talk in tongues. They might speak a different language. Their whole facial expression changes, and they will often ask for things that they like to have, like a certain attire, a certain cloth. They might ask for water. They may even ask for, alcohol or whatever they used to like.
Has every experience been positive for you when you witnessed this, or have there been some real scary times?
You know, the first time was very scary because it looked like witchcraft, and, it looked like I'd come into some demonic thing. But then later on, I realized what was going on, and there were kids there, and there were women there, and there were men there, and everybody had such wonderful faces and looked quite comfortable with it. But the person who was in trance looked pretty demonic, so that was scary. But when you looked at everybody else around, they looked incredibly normal, so I felt pretty good about it. I stay away exclusively from the dark side.
Good, good.
But, if you do go there, then it can be very scary.